Thank you very much. First, want to acknowledge the Brooklyn crowd that made their way up. We are usually, as I will explain, we are usually doing something related to this at Kingsway on Sunday mornings, and I'll give you a brief update on that, as well as not necessarily that you care about my biography, but I was here 2 years ago, and some stuff has changed over those 2 years, which actually framed this morning's cheer. So 2 years ago, I was here. I worked at the counseling center. I'm a psychologist. Over the past 2 years, that has evolved, and now I am an assistant professor at Azrieli. 2 years ago, when I gave this cheer at Kingsway, we just started a Perkei Avos series. We were around 4 months in when I gave the cheer here on Sunday morning about the psychology of chesed. We are still doing the Perkei Avos shiurim at Kingsway. We are 107 shiurim in, and we are not done yet. So those are all on YU Torah. You can listen to them. But as I was going through Perkei Avos, through the shiurim, I was noticing patterns and themes that overlap with a lot of the psychological material, a lot of the educational material that are relevant to teaching, specifically in terms of social-emotional learning, which I'll explain in a moment, and character education. So I started going through systematically, not necessarily during the shiurim, but on my own time, and I created what is now a course at Azrieli that we just started learning about now, which is how to teach teachers how to teach social-emotional learning in the context of Perkei Avos. So what I want to do for this morning is to give you an overview of what the main point of this type of education is. Why do I think this is so important? What the research has to show, and why I think that this is an area that can be developed and that can enhance learning for students, but learning for everybody. We don't have to be children to learn. We could be adults and learn as well. And this lifelong process of learning framed within social-emotional learning, I think can enhance our Talmud Torah and enhance our ability to connect with others. So with that brief introduction, let us jump into the sources. So let's start with a brief description of what social-emotional learning is. So everybody should have three things in front of you. One is the mystery envelope, which I will explain in a few moments. The other is a color photocopy. That's going to be the psychology part and the education part of the talk. And the other is the classic Makoro sheet. So, mystery envelope is being shared. You're supposed to share the mystery envelope. Share the mystery envelope. If you don't have both, the both sources sheets should be in the back there. Okay, so now, go to your colored sheet. When we think about education, we think about classrooms, we think about what we teach students, or what is generally goes on at a midreshet or kol yom rishon or any Torah class that we go to. Generally, Torah or education, science, math, whatever we're talking about, is very content-based. We try to teach information. And when we focus on intelligence, we focus on the parts of intelligence that have to do with analytical ability and memory and our ability to basically use our brain to understand things as best as we can, but it's very content-based. And what Daniel Goleman, I gave you a little book picture so you can look at it if you want, in the top left corner, in his groundbreaking book in the middle of the 1990s that came out called Emotional Intelligence, what he argued, and there's lots of research based on this, is that the focus on just content, academic content knowledge, is not the best way to go when it comes to learning. And that when it comes to learning and success in life, it's not just about math, and it's not just about language, and it's not just about science. It is really important that we teach our children, our students, ourselves, what he termed emotional intelligence, which is actually based on research that came before him, which is the stepping stone to what we're about to explain as social-emotional learning. So one brief caveat, is that I'm using social emotional learning as a broad term. There's a lot of subterms and comparable terms. It's just like if you're a researcher out there, or a journalist out there, or a psychologist, an educator, you want to come up with a new term. You can't just use somebody else's term because you want to write a book about something. So you have to create a new term. So everybody has similar terms to each other that have little nuanced differences. I'm not caring that much about the nuances right now. We're just talking broadly in terms of what social emotional learning is. So I'm going to give you a broad definition, but there's little nuances, just keep that in mind. So look at the bottom left-hand corner of that same page. This is from the book Building Academic Success on Social and Emotional Learning. What does the research say? So the bottom left-hand corner, the text box that's blue, says as follows, gives you five different components to social emotional learning. And those components are self-awareness, which includes identifying and recognizing emotions, accurate self-perception, recognizing strengths, needs, and values, self-efficacy, which is my belief in my ability to accomplish things, and spirituality. So all of these are within the realm of self-awareness, and we could spend an entire lecture just defining each one of these and the nuances of them, but we're going to keep it broad for now. My ability to understand myself is broadly what we call self-awareness. Number two, social awareness. So we're moving from the understanding of what we might call Bein Adam La'atzmo, my understanding of myself, to my understanding of Bein Adam L'chaveru, of others, which includes perspective taking, my ability to understand where others are coming from, empathy, my ability to feel for others, emotions, understand their emotions, appreciating diversity, that other people are different, and having respect for others, all within the realm of social awareness. Third, responsible decision making, problem identification and situation analysis. How do I figure out when there's a problem? How can I analyze the situation that I'm in if there is a problem? How do I solve that problem? Problem solving, evaluation and reflection. Once I solve the problem, let me think, did that problem solving work? We all do this in life. We all think that we do the same thing. We have a problem, we solve it the same way over and over and over and over again without actually stopping to think, was the problem actually solved? Should I use a different method to try to solve this problem? Because the last 10 times it didn't work. Right? So part of this responsible decision making is the ability to be aware, did my problem solving strategy actually work? And then finally, in that category, personal, moral, and ethical responsibility. The next one, self-management, impulse control and stress management. So if I feel like I have to just say something, can I control myself? Can I manage my own stress, my own anxiety? Self-motivation and discipline. Can I motivate myself to want to learn even though I don't necessarily want to learn and I'd rather watch the Super Bowl, right? So how can I motivate myself towards the goals that might be important, as well as keep the discipline to follow through on those goals? Then finally, goal setting and organizational skills. Can I set goals? Can I be organized? Do I have my planners? Do I have my calendar set out? These are all important skills for self-management. And then finally, the last component of these five components are relationship management, which includes communication, social engagement, building relationships, working cooperatively, negotiation, refusal, conflict management, how do you say no, how do you resolve conflicts, and then how to seek help and provide help when appropriate. So these are five basic components to social and emotional learning. The argument is being made, even though we're making some progress on this, is that schools don't spend enough time dealing with these components. Schools focus on math and science and Tanakh and Talmud and even maybe Pirkei Avos, but they don't stop and say, did we teach our students how to be self-aware? Did we teach our students how to be socially aware of others? How to make decisions? How to manage themselves? How to manage their time? And how to manage different relationships. If it's done, it's not done systematically. It's done nitpicking here and there. Something goes wrong. Okay, let's spend 10 minutes talking about this. But it's not, we don't train ourselves and we don't train our students or our children in these areas in a systematic, clear fashion. And social emotional learning is the movement to try and do this on purpose. Be intentional. How do we teach this to ourselves, to our children, in a way that they come out knowing these skills, not just haphazard, not just having a Musser Shmooze every once in a while that tells you that you should be responsible or you should be no se ba'olim chavero, you should care about your friends. No, how do I actually teach that? We assume people just know it. We assume if we give a shir on it, if we give a lecture on it, if we talk about it for 5 minutes, then all of a sudden everybody's got it. I gave a drush on it, everybody knows it, everybody can inculcate it into their character system, and the argument is that's not how it works. It's not how it works. You can't just say something over and expect children or adults to just figure it out and understand it. If you want to teach something, you have to do it right. And what social and emotional learning does is it provides a systematic way to teach these to students and or adults. Why do this? Why is this important? So number one, it's important because these are life skills. These are important things for everybody to know. But more importantly, because if you ever speak to teachers, they're overwhelmed. If you ever speak to principals, they're overwhelmed. We have to teach too much stuff. There's not enough time in the day. They have to take Regents. They have to get into college. They have to do all this stuff. So you want to now add an entirely new curriculum into what we have set out as important goals for life. They have to go to college. You're going to tell me, okay, they know how to be self-aware. That didn't get them into school. Now, I would argue being self-aware might be important, more important than school, but let's not go that far. And let's say we still have to focus on academics. So here's the shelo lishma of social and emotional learning. So look at the top right corner, the yellow box. When you teach social emotional learning to students, and this is an aggregate of lots of different research, so this is different social emotional programs, all the research is sort of brought together, so it could be that the program you used doesn't have this particular outcome, but on a broad level, this is what happens when you teach social emotional learning and you monitor what's going on. So we have three different areas we focus on in terms of the outcomes: school attitudes, school behaviors, and school performance. So in terms of school attitude, starting from the top of that list, stronger sense of community, more academic motivation and higher aspirations, better understanding of consequences of behavior, able to cope more effectively with middle school stressors, and positive attitudes towards school. So if we focus on teaching social emotional learning to our students, they like school better. That's awesome. They want to come. There's going to be less dropout. There's going to be less staying home from school because they don't care anymore. So if we focus on teaching them social and emotional learning, those are some of the school attitudes outcomes that come out from that. School behavior, second part of that section here. More pro-social behavior. People do more chesed. Pro-social means wanting to do nice things for each other. Fewer absences, maintained or improved attendance. More classroom participation. Greater effort to achieve. More likely to work out own way of learning, reductions in aggression and disruptions, lower rate of conduct problems, fewer hostile negotiations, more likely to be enrolled in school, fewer dropouts, on track to graduate, fewer suspensions, better transition to middle school, higher engagement, right? So this is all awesome stuff that happens in terms of how students behave when we actually teach them what social and emotional skills they need for success. And then, the most important for the lo lishma, in terms of school performance, if you teach social and emotional learning, it doesn't just impact the student's character, it impacts their academics as well. They have higher achievement in math, higher in language arts and social studies, more progress in phonological awareness, increases in performance over time, no decrease in standardized test scores. So you took time out to teach this? Well, it didn't decrease standardized test scores, and it actually can, in theory, increase other academic scores. Improvement in reading comprehension with deaf children is a specific study, higher achievement test scores and or grades, better problem solving and planning, use of higher level reasoning strategies, improved nonverbal reasoning, better learning to learn skills. A bunch of awesome different outcomes that come up, not just in terms of how it affects the student on their internal understanding, on their social understanding, but it also impacts academic success when we focus on teaching social and emotional learning. Yes, I can show you the studies that show this. Again, anything that's scientifically proven, quote unquote, it's done through studies. Not every study is the same. Not every study has the same level of intensity or depth. But over time, if you wanted to fully analyze these in each one, you'll see there's a pattern. And the pattern is, this tends to help. I can't guarantee help for each child. I can't guarantee help for each school. But over time, if you work on doing this and implementing it the right way, then it does have a tremendous amount of impact. Yeah. You could definitely do family and sibling work with this, for sure.
Just, obviously, this isn't scientific, but observational. I would see kids doing great in school socially and being cruel and sadistic.
And then the talk goes from one about teaching to one about parenting. And it's the same, and it's a similar thing. Parenting and teaching are both very difficult things and require different skills in order to do it well. But for sure, these are things that are related to parenting as well. You can go check out a book by John Gottman, who's generally known as a marriage therapist, where he talks about emotional intelligence, raising an emotionally intelligent child, which relates to how to inculcate these skills in a parenting context. Okay, one more and then we're gonna get going. So there are some in middle school, there are some in high school, there are some in preschool. You got to go through each one if you want. I'll send you a link. You can look through all of them. Okay, so now, nice introduction. What does this have to do with Perkei Avos? So let's jump into the Torah sources for a moment. What I want to outline for you is a few different ways how we can conceptualize teaching what I'm going to broadly call social emotional awareness, could include character education, what we might call midos or derech eretz, and how Perkei Avos treats that. And my main goal for this morning is obviously not to outline an entire course in an hour, but to show you this one point, how within Perkei Avos you can see the message of how essential it is for to teach social emotional learning. And I'm going to do it with three steps for now. Step one is going to look at, when you think about character, when you think about midos and its relationship to Torah. So what types of things pop into your head? What types of statements pop into your head? The relationship between midos, character, and Torah learning. Okay, so to do chesed, derech eretz kadma l'Torah, that derech eretz preceded the Torah, which generally leads us to an understanding that what? That in order to live Torah, learn Torah, I need to be a mensch first. So, interesting, good. We'll see that briefly. There's actually a custom to read Perkei Avos in between Pesach and Shavuos, and one of the reasons is Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, is that Perkei Avos is about midos, is about character, and in order to build up to Torah, to the acceptance of Torah, we have to work on our character first. That's nice. It's not the whole picture. I'm going to argue that we're going to go a step further, and I also want to, even if that's true, do we do that? Meaning, do we in schools first inculcate Derech Eretz and then do Torah? No. We just do Torah. And along the way, we hope to insert some Derech Eretz ideas on some monthly programs or maybe every once in a while in the classroom. But we don't do Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. We just do Torah, and we try to sprinkle in some Derech Eretz. So let's look at in Perkei Avos, one statement. Look at source number one. Rabbi Gamliel ben Osher, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Omer. So Rabbi Gamliel, this is from Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis. Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, said as follows: Yafet Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. Shegiya Shnei Mishkachas Avon. It's nice. It's great. It's beautiful to combine Torah, the learning of Torah, with Derech Eretz, because Yegiya Shnei, I'm working hard on both of them, helps you prevent sin. Then the Mishnah continues. We're just going to read it because it's important to understand the nuance. V'chol Torah she'eini mamalacha sofa b'teila v'goreres avon. Any Torah that does not accompany with it any level of work, a job, an occupation, will eventually be batal, will be annulled, and will lead to sin. So the question that we have here is, what does Derech Eretz here mean in the Mishnah? We have two options. One option is that Derech Eretz means not midos, but not manners, but work, right? So in the second half, it's clear that there's a concept of talking about malacha, occupation, work. Derech Eretz could, in theory, mean work. And if you look at source number two, the Yaivitz, 15th century Spain, in his commentary on Perkei Avos, we're not going to read the whole thing for the sake of time, but presents both options. He says, some people say Derech Eretz here means work. And he doesn't think that's what it means. He thinks it means midos, character. And there are those that ask, if it means character, what does the Mishnah mean? Shiagias shnei mishkachas avon. Working on Talmud Torah and character will help you forget sin. The commentators ask, what do you mean working on character? Yagias shnei. Working on work, I understand. Working hard to work makes sense. What does it mean to work hard on character? So the Yaivit says, what do you mean? You ever try to change a character trait? Of course it's very hard. So working on changing your behavior is difficult. And it's good, it's yafeh, to combine Torah im Derech Eretz. And I think this presents one way of looking at the connection between Torah and character, is that it's nice, it's a good thing. We like it, we encourage it to be somebody who learns Torah and somebody who also works on his or her character. That's one paradigm. Look at paradigm number two, look at source number three, the Abarbanel. In his introduction to Perkei Avos, tells us what's the purpose of Perkei Avos. So he says, "Akdama Hashniya." We'll read it inside. Bebeira Kavana Rishona Kolelos B'Masechta Zu. So the second thing I want to say, the Abarbanel says, and it happens to be the second thing we want to say, but he didn't say the first thing. It's Kfar Hiskimu HaMefarshim Kulam Heyosa Tachlis HaKolah B'Zosa Masechta. All the Mefarshim. Anybody tells you anything about all the Mefarshim, be skeptical. This is not all the Mefarshim, but lots of Mefarshim say that the purpose of Perkei Avos is Ladas Musar Haskel Tzedek U'Mishpat Meshar, to know how to behave properly. Rotza Lomar Lalamid Livnei Adam Hamidos Hanoshios Hameshuvachos Asher Yasa Osama Adam Bahanagas Atzmo, that people should know character traits, personal character traits, good, awesome, amazing personal character traits that are Bahanagas Atzmo, dealing with myself, what we would call that self-awareness elements. V'hanagas beso, v'hanagas medinaso v'amo, how I deal with my household and how I deal with my community. That's the social element. Sheheim shalshelas minei ha'anhaga asher techlalam chachmas hamidos. This is what we include when we talk about midos, the self-awareness and the social awareness. And now, look what he writes. Uveir amidos hapechusos hamagunos shiisrachik adamam. And the contrast to that is to stay away from the bad traits. Lefi shishlemos hamidos hu derech umesila yishara la'alos l'shemos hamalos hasichlio. So here the Abarbanel tells us that the purpose of perfecting character is in order to get us to what point? Ma'alos sichlios. Intelligence, maybe what we would say synonymous with Torah, is that midos, having the proper character traits internally as well as socially, helps us with our, what we would call, academic skills. Right? The social and emotional awareness leads us to better academic skills. Perkei Avos is social and emotional awareness, social and emotional learning that helps us inculcate Torah. But I want to go one step further. And here is where your little assignment is going to come in. You can work in pairs. And what I want you to do is open that envelope. There's no money in it. Don't get too excited. Open the envelope. What you have here are the 48 Kinyanei Torah. The sixth chapter of Perkei Avos, which is actually Mishnayos, it's actually Brisos, not Mishnayos, so it's Perkei Avos is actually five chapters. We add on a sixth chapter. In this sixth chapter, which is called Perek Kinyan Torah, the chapter that deals with acquiring Torah, the whole essence of which is about Torah study. We'll see that after you're done. In one of those Mishnayos, it tells us there are 48 ways to be Kona, to inculcate, to acquire Torah. 48 ways. In front of you are 48 little pieces of paper. What I want you to work together, groups of twos, threes, fours, doesn't matter. You want to work on your own, there might be some extra ones there. Make these into categories. It shouldn't take you that long. I know it seems daunting, but start going through it. You have the Hebrew and the English there. Put these 48 into categories. Be creative. whatever categories you want to use, I would say not less than 3 categories, not more than 5 categories. Okay? So take around, I'll give you 5 to 8 minutes, probably closer to 8, and you should be good. And then we will come back together and see what we come up with. Okay. Let's see what we got. All right. So I don't need to know if you finished everything or if you were able to squeeze everything into a category, but I want to hear some categories, meaning how did you conceptualize these into different parts? You guys want to start? You finish first. Nice and loud. You don't have to tell me what's in each one. Just give me the categories. What are the 3 categories? So how to live your life, relationships with others, attitude towards learning, okay. Okay, self-improvement, character, okay. Anybody have anything else different? Okay, Ben Adam Lachavero. Bein Adam LaMakom, and Bein Adam LaAtzmo. Okay, so those are 3 categories you could put it into, between man and himself, man and God, man and friend. Anybody else have anything to add to these categories? So the way that I would say just briefly, without getting into nuances of each one, is that it's clear, and this is really the most important point, is that when the Bryce is telling you that there are 48 ways to acquire Torah, it does not just tell you what we would call academic skills. Those are there. How to listen attentively, right? Shmias Ozen, as well as various others, Binas Halev, all the academic brain skills that we might have are there. But it's not even the majority. In addition to those academic skills, you definitely have a huge element of social interactions. How to get along well with others is not just a nice idea. It's not just Yafe Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. And it's not just something that let's do midos and maybe that'll help with learning. That is essential. That's part of learning. That social part, those dynamics, is a kinyan of Torah. If you want to acquire Torah, you need to be able to interact with others if you want a full kinyan in Torah, full acquisition. And then a third category is, as you guys mentioned clearly, some level of what you call self-improvement, character building. There are personality traits that are required for me to be able to learn well. Personality is not the same thing as intelligence. Those are 2 different categories. So it's not just about being intelligent. It's not just about being academic. There is a social element. There is an emotional element, right? And there are personality character traits that are essential to the kinyan of Torah, to acquiring Torah. So what you have in the Mefarshim, this is now if you go to your 3rd page, page 3, what you have in the commentaries on this 6th chapter of Pirkei Avos is something fascinating. If we have time, we'll see how commentators in the previous 5 Prakim deal with this topic. But in the 6th chapter, it's prime to learn this concept because they're all going to struggle with how does each one of these 48 impact Torah study. So they're going to go through each, not everybody goes through each one, but a lot of commentators are going to go through each one and say, what does that have to do with learning? Oh, well, here's what it has to do with learning. So let's see a few examples of that. Source number, let's skip 4, go to source number 5. Rav Avram Farisal, 15th century Italy. One of the things you just read about was Oeb es Habrios. She is karev ba'avas Habrios. So you should be close to loving others. Ki bezet tanuach nafsho im kulam. You'll be able to get along with others. V'tishkot bli etzev. You'll be able to stay quiet, sort of have this peacefulness. You won't be sad. You won't be upset. And then he ends off, v'ya'il l'torah. He doesn't just say, it's nice to get along with everybody. That's true. But it's nice to get along with everybody because that will help you with learning. That will help in the classroom. That will help, and we all know this, but we don't say it explicitly. If I don't learn the skills of how to be a good chavrusa, that chavrusa is not going to work. If I let my, let's go to number seven for a moment, anava, humility, on the flip, my arrogant, if I'm arrogant, right? So Ba'anava, the Shem Tov Ben Shem Tov, 15th century Spain, says, who has shiflus, lowliness, kadeshe kavanaso laboras Hashem. Number one, having anava, humility, helps me have the proper mindset to God. Vim yitel lo yifachet melachsor bo, if I make a mistake, I'm not going to be like, oh, I can't make a mistake, I'm so perfect. No, I have humility. I can go back. I can fix it. Velomar lo yadati. I didn't know. I'm sorry. I didn't know. That's a good trait to have. V'chein l'shamish chachamim, as well as to be able to be subservient to teachers. To be able, not that means you have to listen to every single thing and not question. That's not what it's saying. But to be able to have your teachers as a role model, take some humility on your part as well. And then the lilmod me'aktanim, as well as to be able to learn from those who are quote unquote lower than you, younger than you, requires humility. So what Shem Tov Ben Shem Tov here is doing is telling us is that the skill of humility is essential to be able to learn Torah. Not just to get along with others, that's true, but to get along with others is going to also help you learn Torah. Let's go back to source number six, one up. Belev Tov, Lechem Shemayim, Rav Yaakov Emden, 18th century Germany. What does it mean to have a good heart? Shalibu panui me'akina v'sina v'daiga v'et v'tzavo. That my heart is free from jealousy, from hatred, from worry, anxiety, and sadness or depression. Ki b'chol mida hu sameach v'tov lev. I try to keep a positive, good spin on things, have a lightness to me. Lefichach libo, so why is that good? So it's good because we want to have emotional health. We want to be happy. True, but that's not where it ends because we have to connect this now to how does that impact Torah? Lefichach libo rachav lekabel divrei Torah. My heart is open. It's wide. It's receptive to learning. Being positive is receptive to learning. Having good, positive emotions is going to help me learn. Having negative emotions, there's a place for negative emotions. It's good to have negative emotions at times, but in a classroom, if I'm anxious, guess what I'm not doing? Learning. If I'm depressed, guess what I'm not doing? Learning. If I'm really, really upset at the teacher because he just made fun of me, guess what I'm not doing? Learning. If I just had a fight with my friend during recess and I don't have the ways to resolve conflict and we don't know how to communicate, guess what I'm not doing? Learning. All those negative emotions are going to eat up your cognitive space that you're not going to be able to focus on anything that you are doing. Look at... Yeah, similar to number five. Is that I have to be able to... It's in addition. Number five was the social element. Here it's the social element in addition to the emotional awareness element and the emotional control element. Because it's if I feel depressed, might not be I feel depressed because of my friend. I could feel depressed for something else. Now again, if I'm really depressed, I gotta get help, etc. That's not what we're talking about here necessarily. But just in a classroom, having these negative emotions are going to impact the classroom. So to the extent that I can work on positive emotions, and to the extent that a teacher can help foster an environment filled with positive emotions, the more impactful that's going to be, not just to have a good time, but for the learning. So go to your psychology page for a second and flip it to the other side. On the top book you have here is called Positivity, which is a popular book written by psychologist Barbara Fredrickson on her research on what she calls the broaden and build model of positive emotions. And that is exactly what we just read in the Lechem Shemayim, where she argues that through research, that when I feel positive emotions, that broadens, literally the word that Lechem Shemayim, Yaakov Emden used in the 18th century, was rachav, right? It broadens my mind. It broadens my ability to think creatively. When we're anxious, our mind constricts. We can only think about the thing we're anxious about. We ruminate. We get stuck on it. When I think positively, now all of a sudden, my mind broadens, it widens up. I can think out of the box. I can think creatively. And it's fun, and it's enjoyable. And that reinforces itself, and I want to do this more. So she builds this whole theory with research, and they're doing it in schools, of trying to teach positive emotions, how to inculcate, how to have the self-awareness to be able to work on our own positive emotions, as well as how to create a school environment and to create a classroom that promotes positive emotions, because that's going to help with academic success. It's going to help with the learning, not just on its own. Go back to the Torah side. Look at number eight, b'simcha, similar to what we're talking about. Shimlo yeh sameach bilvavo bilimudo ad sheyizkayim biyado yizkayim. If I'm not happy with what I'm learning, it's not going to work. If I'm happy with what I'm learning, it's going to work. It's going to sustain. And negative emotions, not good for learning. Positive emotions, good for learning. Number nine, b'simcha, ruach chaim, ruach chaim v'lajner. Ki alomed b'simcha b'shas achas, yilmod yoser harbe mimasha yilmod b'kama sha'os ba'atzvos. If I learn 1 hour in a good mood, I'm going to learn so much more than I would be able to learn with a number of hours if I was in a bad mood, if I was down. I'm going to be more productive if I'm in a good mood. V'gam ki ha-Torah hi sha'ashua sha'al-Kadosh Baruch Hu. In addition to that, Torah is supposed to be something positive. God enjoys Torah. It's a plaything of God, as it were. It's supposed to be something enjoyable. So we should model and pattern ourselves after that and make Torah learning as enjoyable as possible. But it's the same idea here. Those positive emotions, the simcha, the lev tov, and the anava, these character traits that if we can work on inculcating, is not just good for ourselves, not just good for our social interactions, but it's essential to Talmud Torah. It's essential to academic success as well. Flip to source number 10, it says something similar, but flip the page for a second to, we are now, I think, we're beyond flips. Where are we? We're on page 4. So we're not going to have time to go through all of this, but I'm going to give you a small glimpse into where this comes out as well. We just did chapter 6. Chapter 6, we said, is essential because it teaches us, it frames everything within the learning of Torah. Abarbanel said that the whole Pirkei Avos is dealing with midos, which is just a stepping stone to get into academics, to the sichlios. What we're arguing here is that it's not just a stepping stone to get to academics, it's part and parcel with academics. And what I'm arguing is that I'm saying something slightly different than the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel is saying is that this is all about midos, and midos leads to academics. I'm saying that Pirkei Avos itself is midos plus academics. It's all one. It's one big social, emotional learning, academic mush together, because they go hand in hand, because one leads to the other and builds off of the other. So I did that in the sixth parak, and I want to show you where you can see this in previous prakim as well. If you go through all Pirkei Avos, you can pick here and there ideas. But the one central place where it comes up is in the second chapter, Mishnah 8, 9, and then continuing with 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, etc. Why? What's going on in these Mishnayos? So these Mishnayos is where we're introduced to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and his 5 students. And what's important and what I love about these Mishnayos is that it's basically describing what we would call a classroom. Is that he has his 5 students, and he is engaging with them. Usually Pirkei Avos is just telling us, this rabbi said these 3 things, here's what he said. For the first time we have here in the second chapter, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is giving us, the Mishnayos are giving us a picture of how he interacted with his students. He had 5 students. First of all, he praises all 5 of his students. He gives them a definition as to what character traits they're good at. That's a very powerful thing for a teacher to do, to be able to tell their students, you are good at this. And the truth is that one of the main points of character education in the positive psychology movement is to help students identify their character strengths. And by them being able to say, oh, I am good at this character strength, is a very positive thing for their self-image, and it helps them build on that character strength, which helps all the positivity and helps the learning, etc. It's exactly what Yochanan ben Zakkai did. He said, you student, you're good at this. You student, you're good at this. Your student, you're good at this. And then he says, look at the second box there. Amr Lahem, source number 11, second box. Tsur u ezvi derech yishar shiyadbak ba'adam. Go out and see what good ways there are that a person should take. And then they all give an answer. Ayin Tov, Chaver Tov, Shachin Tov, Roas Anol, all these things that they think is a great proper character trait, that's the essential character trait. And then the next Mishnayos keep going and they say, then this student told you, like we had in the past, said these three things. And this student said these three things. And this student said these three things. Guess what? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai describing his students, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai interacting with his students, and then his students all teaching us something to learn about. Because this is the classroom, because you have this concept of a social group here for the first time, where students and teachers are interacting with each other, what you're going to see in the statements of the students as well as the commentators are a lot of similar themes to what we are talking about here. And that the essence of a classroom, the essence of Torah learning, is interaction between students and teacher and students and students in a positive way that builds character, that then helps and enhances the learning experience. Parentheses for a second. This isn't exactly this, but it's related. Maram Sheikh says, why does he say Suru? Why does he tell them, go out and find for yourself? Why not just, like we generally do in classes, which is not great, lecture-based styles isn't the greatest way to teach. Why? Because it's top-down. It's me, the sage on the stage. Now I'm calling myself a sage, but the teacher presents themselves as the one who has the knowledge, and then they teach the student everything. Right? So I know everything, and I tell it to you, and you listen to me. The Maram Shik says, why does Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai say Tzuru? Go out, figure this out on your own. So he says, this is a great pedagogical skill, to be able to go tell the students, not this is what the right way to live is. You guys go out, observe, figure out the right way to live, come back, let's talk about it in the classroom, and then I'll give you my opinion. That's exactly what he does. And the Maram Shik says that self-discovered learning, the fact that they were able to go and experience it that themselves, is so much more powerful than Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai going and saying to them, here's what I think the right way to live is. Because they now understand it better, they know it better, they can feel it in their kishkas, as it were. It's not just intellectual knowledge, they figured it out on their own. So much more powerful, which is, not that I'm Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, but why I wanted to give you this experience in this shiur was to see if you could figure this out on your own. See within the sources that it's not just about learning. It has to be that the 48 Kinyanei Torah incorporates social emotional skills. It has to be. There's no other way to get around the fact that there are 48 things that deal with Talmud Torah that aren't Talmud Torah. So now, One last point. Look here at source number 12 and 13. So each, as I told you, each one of his students said three things. So Rabbi Eliezer says, Yehi chvod chavercha chaviv alacha kishalach. The honor of your student should be as dear to you as your own. So Rabbi Matsyahu Sari says, 15th century Spain, source number 13, what's this deal with honoring your friend should be as dear to yourself as your own? So he says, each one of these students tells us three things to learn. Rabbi Eliezer starts, and I'm just translating outside, Tzarech, end of the first line, Tzarech she chaviv la'adam keneged talmido v'chavero kishalo. You have to treat your friends with honor. V'emezem musar gadol laharbos ha-Torah l'kayim ha-kibbutz. And this is essential for Torah learning, for teaching. You have to create an environment of respect and honor and how to deal with each other in a socially respectable way. And without that, you have no shot at learning anything. Learning is going to be impacted. And this, as you can tell from the rest of the Makoros, we have 15 other sources to go through, which we'll have to do at a different point in time. But the main message, which I hope is clear and it maybe starts a discussion for us and to think, and I'm more than happy to talk to anybody more detail about this. You can reach me if you want at mordechai.shiffman@yu.edu or psychedfortorah@gmail.com, which is my email where every week I send out a weekly Dvar Torah about the Parsha and psychology. I'll tell it, Psyched for Torah, P-S-Y-C-H-E-D, F-O-R-T-O-R-A-H, You can go to the website, it's .com. You can subscribe to the emails, or you can email me. We can be in touch at gmail.com, where we can just start a discussion about how this is going. I mean, we're giving a whole class at Azraeli. If you want to enroll in that class, it's probably too late. Might get a late fee, but you know, this is an ongoing discussion. This is something that I hope to be able to work with others to creating a curriculum where we use Pirkei Avos itself to teach, kill two birds with one stone. You have the academic knowledge you're learning Pirkei Avos, as well as Pirkei Avos itself is the best way, I think, to teach from a Jewish perspective what social and emotional learning is all about. And that could really enhance our own Talmud Torah. And then from a school perspective, really enhance the Talmud Torah and the entire culture and positivity of any school. If we can create a curriculum that incorporates all of this stuff for each age group, I think it's very powerful and something that's essential to learning. And there's a lot of great stuff and outcomes, as we started to begin with, that can come out of such an endeavor. So I appreciate the time with you guys, and hopefully we'll be in touch in the future to talk more about things like this. Thank you.